Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational programming. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fabulous show for you tonight, and we're going to go ahead and get started with that show tonight. And I certainly hope and trust and pray that you all will invite us. We're going to go ahead and welcome one of our co-hosts, Sister Teresa. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here this evening.
Awesome. Sister Teresa, would you welcome the presence of the Lord into our programming tonight, please? Thank you.
Absolutely. Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for keeping us all week and just come into the midst of this programming tonight. Help us to learn from the portals of your word. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that, Sister Teresa. We certainly appreciate that. Let's go ahead and welcome some more of our guests in. Let's go ahead and bring in Lady C. Lady C., thank you for joining us tonight. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you on board with us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. I hope everybody can hear me clearly tonight. Last night I was having some technical difficulties, so hopefully tonight I'm not.
Okay, excellent, 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 excellent. Great to have you with us. Let's go ahead and bring in a new addition to our team, and that's in the person of Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, thank you for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you on board, and welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. It's always great the time that I have come just to be on the call. You know, it's great wisdom that is being shared, especially from the very head, which is yourself, and that way we can learn from each other and apply the things that you teach and we learn from each other. Great to be on.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much for joining us. I want to begin this evening, and Pastor Rowe, we're going to start with you. Tonight's topic is, what is Christianity about? Just briefly, tell me, in your opinion, what is Christianity really about? I mean, when we talk about Christianity.
Okay, I believe that Christianity is all about Christ, you know. The things that he's done for me from the beginning, it's about him, the life that he lived, the life that he's demonstrating to show us that we should live and just be a part of him, who is often the finish of our faith. It's all about Christ.
Okay, all right. So that is all about Christ. All right, let's go ahead and bring in Benny from the Block. Benny from the Block, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure to have you on board with us.
Good evening and happy, fantastic, fervent Friday. Great night out, and I'm happy to be the part of the show. I'm ready to go.
Excellent, excellent. Lady C, what does Christianity mean to you? I mean, what's it about Christianity?
I think Christianity is based on what somebody believes in and what they practice.
Okay. I like that, what they believe in and what they practice. That's deep. That's deep. Miss Teresa, what does Christianity mean? What is it about to you?
Sure. Christianity, according to the Bible, and I can only verify it from the Bible, the Christian life is shown by his daily life. Said Christ, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And that's taken out of Matthew 7:17. So a Christian, you know them by their fruits, a real Christian.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Let me go here and let's find out what Sir Benny, Christianity to you, what is that? What is it about for you?
Well, Christianity to me is a group of believers that believe that Christ came and died on the cross and shed his blood for all mankind. But the way God sees it is he said most vividly and clearly, for God so loved the world. He didn't say Christians, Jews. He said the world. And so he sees the world as his first love, not just one set of people, but the world.
Okay, so... And Christianity to me is pretty much the pursuit of a lifestyle, maybe, and I use the word pursuit carefully, but pursuit of a certain lifestyle. So, Sir Ben, when you say what you just said, that he talked about the world, so, and he didn't identify one group of people. And we know that the word Christian means followers of Christ. So are you inferring, suggesting, or implying that when God talked about the world, that he's encompassing Jews, Muslims, you know, Pentecostals, Protestants, Baptists, Adventists, whomever? I mean, is that what you're saying, Sir Benny?
Absolutely, and that's why that important word, he so loved the world, that he gave his own. He so loved the world, everything that's encompassed in this world, he so loved it. And then that's why I try to tell people, because of his love, his abundance of love for us, because he sees each one of us as the apple of our eye, no matter what your circumstances are, your situation is, your classification, your title, it doesn't matter. He still sees all of us as the apple of his eye. And because he loves us with this kind of unimaginable love, that's why he so loved the world. So even though we give ourselves groupings and titles and names, that doesn't delineate that he still loves everybody else the same, no matter what nationality, what group, what sect, whatever you're a part of. He says he so loved the world.
All right, we're going to ask
you a question. Dr. Walker, can I just ask a question? Brother Benny, I appreciate you. And just wanted to ask, I know the Bible, that is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that last phrase to me does separate a particular group, because he says, whosoever believeth in me shall have eternal life and shall not perish. So after he so loved the world, then he gives the condition. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So in your opinion or in your research, would you say that is like a condition? He does love the world, but then there's a condition after that love that he has for it. And whosoever believeth in him shall not. So that belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the condition. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree 100%. But remember, his love encompasses all of us. It doesn't matter. Even though he doesn't want to see anybody perish, of course, he does not. But
absolutely.
When he gave up his son, he didn't give his son up for some of us or most of us or people who are going to just be believers. He gave his son's life up for all of us, everybody, that we may have an opportunity to have eternal life. So we all have the opportunity.
Right, okay.
But what about those? Okay.
Pastor Roland, for a second. Pedro, I want to ask you the question. If this is the case, if God sent his only begotten, he gave his only begotten son, and then we understand that for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. So is that enough, in your opinion, Pastor Rose, to believe in him? Is that enough? Even his son?
Well, you know, Dr. Walker, and to our, you know, our audience, you know, that whosoever, we're dealing with the whosoever. And then scripture also says he came unto his own. You know, that's a segment of people, Jews. But his own received him not. And this is the key word, as many. That's, you know, that spreads out to all sectors and all nations of people. He came unto his own received, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So he just didn't limit it to a chosen few, but he replicated that to every person that believes in him to become
all right,
sons
we're gonna
of God.
You,
that's what I...
Lady C, we're going to ask you that question. Is it enough to believe in God, in Jesus' son? Is it enough to believe in Jesus' son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Is there, and then Sister Reese, we're going to give them to you the same question. Is there a subsequent condition that goes with that, in your opinion?
I believe it's enough, but yet not enough, you know, because we can believe in somebody but hate somebody at the same time. You know, I believe it's not enough. It's all based on where your heart is. I can easily say I believe in, I'm going to just say it's not enough. I'm going to say that. I'm going to switch my answer. It's not enough because we can easily say we believe in somebody, but do our heart feel that we can believe in it, in that ourselves? You know what I'm saying?
We're going to get to what Christianity is about in you all opinion. Sister Rita, I want to bring you in briefly here. Is it enough to believe in Jesus Christ? I mean, because you're talking about the word condition. To believe in Jesus Christ, and we heard what Sir Ben said about loving the world, but then over here we say, whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So if I'm a sinner out there, yet I believe in the Son of God, Jesus as the Son of God, am I going to be saved? Whosoever believes in him shall never not perish, but have everlasting life. To Sarita, briefly.
It's enough and it's not enough. I said Lady C said. Also, James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So it's not enough to just believe. One has to be transformed by that belief. And so I can say all day, "Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord," and then I go out here and kill my brother, or I go out here and take somebody's husband. But I love the Lord. That doesn't say that I don't love the Lord, but I haven't been transformed yet by his word.
Okay,
so that belief, it's got to be more than the belief.
Right. Okay, so are you telling me that with all that David did, all that Abraham did, all that Solomon did, I mean, these things where they were out there doing different things, that was not enough? When David, all the Psalms that David, you know, it's believed that David wrote the book of Psalms. All that he did,
right,
and he cried out his heart to God, and he knew how bad he was, and he knew he had enemies. And he even asked God to destroy some of these enemies. So, and yet, God said he's a man after my own heart. Are you saying that was not enough, that he believed in the Son of God?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that what people use David all the time. However, David's, we have the book of Psalms because of out of David's repentance. David repented of what he did. David had a heart. Yeah, he did some horrible things, but David repented, and that is what God keyed into. He repented of everything that he did, and I thank God for that, because that book of Psalms is out of his crying out to God, "Lord, I'm wretched, man. I'm wretched. I'm wretched. And create in me a clean heart, oh God. I love it." And so we have all those beautiful psalms out of his repentance.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go into what is Christianity about. We've heard that people talk about you should know them by their fruit. We talked about what a person believes and they practice. We talked about a lifestyle, the pursuit of a lifestyle. We talked about God's love for the world. So let me just ask you all, I mean, for some examples of Christianity. And let me begin first with Lady C. Lady C, give me one example of Christian or Christianity, you know, based on what someone believes, according to what you said, and they practice. One example, Lady C, please.
Like, well, like people who walk with our, your basic walk with Christ, you know. We believe in that we should serve God in a way of prayer, going to church, you know, loving people the way they need to be loved, giving. That's all in the base of Christianity for me.
Okay, all right. And me, for me, Christianity, the pursuit of a lifestyle, for me, probably borders on these principles. The one, man's relationship to God, the first four commandments, okay? This is what Christianity means to me. Man's relationship to God based bordered on the first four commandments. And then man's relationship to humanity or man's relationship to man, the second six commandments. So for me, Christianity borders on those two principles, man's relationship with God and man's relationship with his fellow man as a lifestyle. So with that said, to me it's, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to do with God? Whatever God wants me to do, my purpose, my calling. And what am I supposed to do for man? You know, it's not all about me. It's what I do in my walk with God based on my relationship with him. That's what Christianity to me is about. Let me go over here now to Sir Ben. Sir Ben, what is it for you that what is it for you that Christianity is all about? All right, we're going to ask Sir Ben to stand by. We not even get him yet. Let's go to let's go here to Miss Teresa. Let's bring you in here. Miss Teresa, what is it for you? What is Christianity for you? Give me one example. One example.
I can give you an example. Christianity to me, well, first of all, Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm going to skip down to the last verse. And his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he doth meditate day and night. A great example happened today. I got my little boots I ordered because I couldn't find them in my size. And at Macy's, and they gave me a gift card, a $50 wine gift card. Now, I don't drink, and I don't drink because I'm holier than thou, or I think I'm better than anyone else. I don't drink because Proverbs 16 says wine is a mocker, and they are not wise. And as a Christian, you are to be Christ-like. So I am taking on the character of Jesus Christ. He did not drink alcohol. And so, no, I'm not going to give the card away because I'm not going to enable anybody else with that. But I don't know what to do with the card. I guess I'll just throw it away. But because I love the Lord, I don't drink. And that is an example of a Christian. I die daily to some issue that in my character or some flaw.
All right,
every day I die to
this, something. Real quickly here, because sometimes we get off the subject matter. And I want to ask you just quickly here, are you saying that a person who drinks is not a Christian?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a person that is a Christian delights himself in the Word of God, not so much reading the Bible, but becomes transformed by the Word of God. So if the Bible, if the Bible says that wine is a mocker, then you don't drink it because it says they that partake thereof are not wise.
Right. Okay, so yet Jesus turned the water into wine. What was that all about?
It was grape juice. It was grape
okay,
juice. It was not
fermented.
The Bible
fermented. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It doesn't mention anything about
study.
It. Does it say
line
no?
Upon
does,
line, a little,
the Bible
say
anything about
there.
It being fermented? Yes or no?
You have to research it.
You?
Yes. It was not fermented.
The
it was
role.
Not for alcohol you drink.
Does the Bible say anything about fermented, that the wine that Jesus, the water that Jesus turned to wine, was it fermented? Does the Bible use the word fermented?
It was not fermented.
Okay, hold on a second. We're asking Pastor Rowe, in your research, in your understanding, do you recall whether or not the water that Jesus turned to wine was fermented, yes or no? All right, we're
yes.
not getting. Okay, hang on a second. Do you have scripture that supports that, Pastor Rowe, yes or no?
Well, I think the sister had said before, you know. When
and what you think.
You know,
now,
I'm
asking, do you have scripture
that... No, I can't substantiate that by scripture.
Ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, let me ask you. Are you there, Sir Ben? All right. Let me go to Lady C. Lady C, let me bring you in. Do you know if the water that Jesus turned to wine was fermented? Yes or no? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right. So, Sister Teresa, just I'm going to ask you, do you have a scripture in the Bible, not outside the Bible study or research, do you have a scripture from the Bible, King James Version perhaps, preferred, that says that the water that Jesus turned into wine was fermented or not fermented?
I will give you the scriptures at a later time because it's a Bible study in itself because
right.
you have to go back to the historic account of that situation and that day what they were using, and it was grapes. It was not alcohol. Jesus was sinless. He committed no sin. How could
All right, so again,
how
I'm
Jesus
asking you, if you're saying that a person who drinks, that's a sinner, is that what you're saying or inferring?
No, because that's not what the study is tonight. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, because we're getting off when you all throw different things in. It takes away from what we're trying to focus on, which is what Christianity is about. So, and I've asked for examples of Christianity. Pastor Rowe, give me one example of Christianity, one example of what Christianity to you is about. Just one.
Okay, the question was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, soul, and spirit. And the second, which is like as preferred, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, so Christianity is about loving God and your neighbor. How can you say you love God, you never seen him, and dislike your fellow man? You know,
okay.
That's hypocrisy. All right. So the two go.
No, go ahead.
I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, the two goes hand in hand or two goes together. Go ahead.
Loving God with all your heart and mind. And the second, which is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, so.
And that's not so much. Go ahead, Dr. Walker.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we want to hear from you all out there. To you, what does Christianity mean? I mean, to me, it's about the pursuit of a lifestyle. And the pursuit of that lifestyle is like walk the lifestyle that Christ walked. I mean, is it an aspiring lifestyle? Have we reached that point of perfection or sinlessness? It's a pursuit. Lady C, if I were to give an example of a lifestyle, it's like if I can do something for the needy, if I can just do something for someone who's in need on a regular basis, if that's part of my pursuit of the lifestyle of Christianity, or becoming an aspiring Christian, or becoming a Christian, if I can make this part of my lifestyle to want to help others, that for me is what Christianity is about. Lady C, so I ask you the question, give me your example of what it is that Lady C might do to say, well, I'm in pursuit of, because I believe and I practice what? That makes me believe in Christian, that Christianity is about. You believe and you practice what?
I believe in allowing God to use me in a way that he sees fit.
All right. Sir Ben, are you there? If you're there, Sir Ben, just jump in. You might be on mute. Okay. So, Pastor Rowe, let me go to you again. Pastor Rowe, what would you practice as part of your Christianity if you consider yourself to be a Christian or that's the journey for you?
Okay, it's all about action, you know, and I think the best way to say that in the conservation of time is the Good Samaritan. You know, and you know the story about the Good Samaritan, how they passed this wounded man by and because he was wanted to go to church, you know, and he was a hurting brother over there. But the Good Samaritan came by and saw, you know, that the man was wounded, and he reached out and, you know, he helped the man, you know. But the scripture gives various examples, you know, about love. And I think the Good Samaritan story explains it all about what Christianity is all about, helping a wounded brother. He was wounded. Go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, but that's how I see Christianity, you know, taking the time to help another brother that's hurting. That's a Good Samaritan.
Okay. All right. So in your – would you say then – Pastor Rowe, for you, and this is a question, what is your daily walk of Christianity? If you don't mind sharing with us, and you all, I know that that's a personal question, but our audience probably needs to know, and I'm certainly willing to also express my thoughts on that. What is your daily walk? You know, for me, it's a journey. I wouldn't even say that I have reached that level of saying that I'm a totally sinless. I can't say that I've reached that point. So I don't know if it means to be a Christian, you are completely sinless. But for me, it's a journey. It's a walk. It's a process. You know, and I'm trying, I call myself an aspiring Christian, trying to get there. So my daily walk is having a relationship where I worship every single morning with God. I spend time with him. And then throughout the day, I'm meditating on him. My daily walk also is, what can I do for my fellow man on a daily basis? On a daily basis. Not just, okay, I did something last week, but on a daily basis. So, Pastor Rowe, I go to you, and I'm basically asking the same question. What is your daily walk? And if you choose not to want to respond to that, just pass, and we'll go to someone else. I know it's personal.
Okay. Okay, I'll just say to you, you know, it said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be glorified and praised. Okay, so early in the morning, you know, we give praises to God. You know, Daniel prayed 3 times today, you know, so a routine for me is, you know, when I arise in the morning to give God honor, glory, and praise. But throughout the day, It's as Psalms 1 say, in his law does he meditate day and night. So my routine is meditating on the word, thinking about the word. So God's, as David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, we don't want to get caught up in presumptuous sin, you know, just doing the same thing over and over and over. But as we meditate on the word of God and read the word of God, you know, then it'll open up scripture. So my routine is to study God's word, to meditate on his law, and to give him honor, glory, and praise. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so Pastor, I want to stay with you just for a second. The other part of the question is, in your daily walk with God, is it just about your relationship with God, or do you extend that to, because you talked about it earlier, about your fellow man. Do you do on your daily walk? And, of course, if you choose to bypass that question, we will certainly respectfully pass you on that. Are you doing anything to help man? That's part of the question.
Okay, that's a very good question. I'm very, you know, part to, you know, to be, you know, sponsoring others and reaching out to help others, you know. But it's encouraging people. You know, a lot of people are hurting out there. They don't know the way. But they can see Christ through your action toward them if you love them. As you had I mentioned, you know, your ministry helping these people in Mexico that, you know, homeless, don't have nothing. Before you can tell them about Christ, you need to do something to help them. And they can see Christ through your action and through your works of love, your labor of love.
And that is beautiful. So, go ahead, please.
And, you know, and I just want to say labor of love. You can't tell people about Jesus and they're hungry and they're homeless and, you know, but you show them love, you know. Then they'll be willing to listen to you about Christ. You know, you can't shove Jesus down folks' throat and say they're going to get it right away, you know, but just show them some love and they'll be open to hear about, you know, about the love of God, love of Christ.
Okay, and
I think that is
vitally important, and I love what you're saying here. Certainly learning, because it's showing your labor of love to your fellow man. All right, let's bring in Sister Teresa. Let's bring you in. And Sister Teresa, we're for Christianity. Is there, and you certainly can bypass it if you'd like to. What is your daily walk of Christianity? If you want to share that with us briefly, or if you want to pass it, we'll certainly respectfully pass that.
Sure, I don't mind. My daily walk is to get up every morning around 5 and worship God and empty myself and allow him to take all my plans. I lay them at his feet. I ask the Lord to use me in his service for that day, and I just open myself up to whatever he has for me that day. And he puts someone in my path to tell them that Jesus is coming and that he loves them and wants to take them back with him when he comes. I do that. If I see a hungry person and I just bought some food from the Soul Vegetarian, I give it away. And so if my church calls on me to minister, to inspire people during the service to sing, I do that. Whether it's over the phone, a teleconference, Zoom, it doesn't matter. I'm completely open and surrendered to whatever God has for me to do, because for God I live and for God I die.
Okay, I'm going to ask each one of you all, thank you for that. I'm going to ask each one of you all this question. And then I want you to please be so kind to fill in the blank. And I'll give an example of what we're asking here. Christianity is visiting the sick and shut in. Okay, so Christianity is, and then fill in the blank. I just filled in visiting the sick and shut in. Okay, so, and you all can certainly make a list of those of the audience that's listening to this, you know, and then do your research and see what you come up with. What this is basically what Christianity is about. Christianity is about those three words. Christianity is about, and then you fill in the blank, is about visiting the sick and shut in. So, Lady C, I go to you. If you can fill in the blanks for you, just one area, and we'll come back to you all about three times on this same thing. And so, Lady C, Christianity is about filling the blank.
Christianity is about, you know, helping others and allowing God to use you whenever he needs to use you, keeping your heart open. So if he needs you to speak a word to somebody, you are able to hear what he's saying and to speak that word. If he wants you to give money to someone, you have your heart open, so therefore he can put it on your heart so you can, you know, give that person money, food, helping the homeless, any way that God feels like he needs to help you in.
All right, we asked for one, but you gave us about four, and that's fine.
Oh, that's fine.
So because I want to come back to you, and so Ms. Teresa, fill in the blank. Christianity is about
transforming the power of Jesus Christ in your life.
Transforming power of Jesus Christ. How do you do that?
You don't do it. He transforms you. You just open yourself to be surrendered to allow him to do it in your life.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Rowe, Christianity is about.
Okay, so beautiful said the lady that spoke before me about confirmations. You know, Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed You know, she mentioned transfer. About the renewing of your mind, soul, and spirit. But also, Christianity is about, what did Jesus
say? Just give me
say?
One.
When I was when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When we do all this, and as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. So it's an action word. Christianity is the action word. And to, you know, to the things that I have mentioned. Feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and visit those that are in prison. And not
you know,
only physical prison,
ask you all.
People are in mental prison, people are in emotional prison, all kind of prison. It don't have to be just a physical prison, but you got to be able to visit people where they are in prison. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, it's amazing. I can ask you a hopeful. I can ask one question, and it brings, you know, like it brings several responses. And we're reaching for something, but that's fine, you all. So, and I'll do it a different way now. Let me just go ahead and let you all pour out. Let me start with you, Ms. Teresa. Let me let you just pour out what Christianity is all about to you. And you've got 45 seconds. Go ahead, please. Everything that Christianity is about.
Christianity is about submitting to the power of God. Allowing him to reign in your life and not putting your spirit, putting your Christianity down one day and picking it up the next. It's a continuous sanctification. It's a continuous drive to love and to serve God and serve others. You can't serve others unless you serve God and know him.
All right, what else is Christianity about? Because I know we're not done yet, so I want you to pour it all out. I mean, I was trying to do it where we do just one, because I know that when we do one, people will have more that they will want to contribute. But since we're not, and I'm included, since we're not kind of following the one, then let's just go ahead and pour them all out to that individual. Is there anything else that Christianity is about to you, Ms. Teresa?
Other than being Christ-like? No. If you understand and research and learn the character of Jesus and partake of his character, become like him as he wants us to be like him, that is a Christian. And you'll know them by their fruit.
Okay, you got anything else you're going to throw in so we can go to the next person?
Oh, no, that's it.
Okay, all right. Lady C, let me bring you in now. Lady C, I know you mentioned several of them. You say speaking the right words to others, you know, giving money, feeding the homeless, and some of the same that Pastor Rose said, and that's fine. So what else, Lady C, can you pour your heart out that Christianity is about to you? Just pour it all out there.
I know I've been saying the same thing I've been saying over and over and over. But I'm going to just give an example, okay, on why I say that. Like, today I was talking to a customer today, one of my customers, and I don't know what it is, but God just laid it on my heart to just start telling him things that was dealing with my life, and all of a sudden he started crying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when he started crying, he told me that God has been dealing with him, wanting him to open up his own business, but he had his wife coming in, and she was crushing it and crushing it and crushing it. But whatever I said to him brought him confirmation. And that is why I said we got to, you know, allow God to open our heart and allow God to use us in whatever way he feels fit. And that is what Christianity is about me, is about what you believe in and what you practice. If you sit there and say, I allow God to use me, and you don't allow it, or you have your heart set shut, you're not practicing what you preach, you know? So that's why I say what I said.
I like how you really put that, is what you believe and what you practice. I think, you know, I'm learning something as I listen to everybody tonight, and I hope you all are taking something from it, and our audience as well, and we'd like to hear from you all. You can certainly press 1. Looks like we may have lost Sir Ben, but you can certainly press 1, and we'll come to that. Pastor Rowe, is there anything else left out that you want to add that Christianity is about to you?
Well, the only thing I can say, you know, it's all about, you know, you can meditate on the word, but you got to act upon the word, you know. And, you know, it's just an action. Excuse me. It's an action word. And I can't say more than that. It's, you know, and give it to others and be a personification of our Lord, the life that he lived, and let him be an example to you. Let this man be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So basically, excuse me, having the mind of Christ.
All right,
and
we're going to ask you.
Following his commandments. Okay.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. And Sister Teresa, I want to go back to you and ask. Now we're going to do another question, and we'll give it to you, and then I want to respond. And that becomes, okay, your neighbor who happens to be an atheist, let's just say this is a hypothetical, happens to be an atheist, and you have tried to give them maybe a tract or something, but and they really curse you out and ask you don't do that because it's offensive to them. But now all of a sudden now you see where they can't start their car and they need some assistance from you for a ride. Is Christianity about loving your neighbor who doesn't even believe in God and giving that person a ride if you can, if you feel comfortable enough? Ms. Teresa?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, sometimes you don't really have to say anything. Your life should be an example because we're supposed to be living epistles read of men. Sometimes your life is just the only example. You may be the only Jesus that someone may see. So
okay.
In that case, your life should be an example to that person.
Okay. And see, that's why I mentioned for me, and I'm not trying to influence or persuade anybody else, because Christianity is what you subjectively see for yourself. And in this case, Christianity, for me, I talked about the pursuit of a lifestyle, the pursuit, an aspiring journey to get to Christianity, to be like Christ. I didn't just wake up in the morning and be like Christ, even though I pursued his character and trying to understand how Christ did things and how to walk like he did. But it's a journey for me now. This is just for me. It's a journey in pursuit of that to get there. So as you're saying now, and certainly this is where we're coming to tonight, you all, it's what we're doing for other people as we take on the character of God, because that same atheist neighbor that didn't believe in God, that didn't want your literature, and now he needs a ride. Your character, your demonstration of Christianity, the lifestyle, that's the word I'm using. It becomes a lifestyle, pursuit of a lifestyle, whether we get there ever or not, but it's the pursuit, and for me now, the pursuit of lifestyle. Lady C, let me go over to you. Let me go over to you and ask you, Lady C, let me give you a different scenario. This guy who smokes and drinks, and he's homeless, and you clearly give him $5 to get him a meal, but he's choking out there, and do you go and give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to help, you know, doing his condition? What do? Lady C?
You know, to be honest, I can only be honest on this part, okay?
Yes.
If I gave him food and I see him choking, I can't even tell you how I would react. Because
okay.
Now my mental state has changed. If I'm seeing somebody choking, I might end up rushing to help them. You know?
Okay.
I don't know.
Right.
You know, I call 911. But physically saying what I can do, I can't even answer that because no one knows what they can do if someone was choking like that. Unless they're in medical field and they know how to act in that situation.
All right. Okay. But if somebody's standing around and the people are saying, and let's say that the man is not well kept, and somebody says, well, miss, since you were the first to run to him, why don't you give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Do you think there's a likelihood, Lady C, that you might do that. I mean, for me, I'm so OCD in myself, and I know that about me, that it's not a likelihood that I might want to get down there and do that. And it's not that I'm better than anybody, but the OCD kind of takes over. So that's me. So, Lady C, what are your thoughts?
Now, it's a different scenario. So somebody asking me, Lady C, since she was the first one, go there and help him. You know, rendering, I mean, we're supposed to render aid to someone when it comes to certain things like that. But the thing is, if someone tell me to do it, I better know, call 911. Because to me, I would be afraid to do it because I am like you. I am, I mean, trying to, I don't know, about putting my mouth on somebody else's mouth. You know?
See, that's what I'm saying. And I'm being perfectly honest, just like you are, Lady C. You know, and I mean, that is like, maybe people will judge me for that, but I already know I'm probably not trying to get down there if I can do the helmet renewal, I mean maneuver, and that can bring it up. I mean, that's one thing. Now, of course, we know that if it's your loved one, you're more inclined to want to, you know, I mean, it'd probably be a different situation. That's the role. I want to ask you that same question. If it's someone that doesn't appear to be as well kept, and, I mean, it's like you can pretty much smell their breath from, you know, several feet away, and then they're choking, and you need to give somebody to stand to you, the audience around you, saying, hey, you were the first to provide some kind of assistance. Give them mouth to mouth. What do you do, honestly, Pastor Rowe? And if you want to bypass that, we will certainly go on to Sister Teresa.
Well, you know, it's a difference when you talk about love. It's a difference between face foolishness and being presumptuous. Now, ladies have to be very, very, very careful from my perspective. You know, you pass by, you're riding in your car, you see somebody saying, we'll work for food. You know, you got to be so careful because, you know, you try to give a person money, they try to get in and attack you. But a lot of times if you are in McDonald's or Hardee's or wherever, you know, and somebody say, you know, instead of giving them money, you can go and get the food for them because they can take that money and buy some whiskey, wine, drugs, or dope or whatever, you know. But especially women, when you're alone by yourself, well, you got to be very, very, very careful. And and about the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, I wouldn't recommend that a man, you just got to be careful who you're dealing with. Like you said, Pastor, Doctor, your children. Now, that might be, you might take that extra step, but a stranger, you got to be very, very, very careful. The Lord has almost whispered in your ear and tell you to do it. You got to have that kind of close relationship. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, thank you. And back to you now, Pastor Robe. I'm asking you specifically, you as a man, and that man is on the ground and he's choking. He's not well kept and his breath is really kicking it out there. And we're not certainly not making fun of him, but the situation, the audience around is saying, give him mouth to mouth. What do you, I know what you said about the women, but we're asking you as a man, and I support what you said about the women, but we're asking you specifically about the man needing mouth to mouth. Would you?
Well, you know, with me having put 20 years in the military, retired, you know, Marine, and we was taught about, you know, giving people mouth to mouth, you know, resuscitation. You know, I'm just the kind of person, I know God is going to take care of me. And if I saw a person that had a heart attack or cardiac arrest or whatever, I personally, because I got strong faith in God, I'm not doing it for my own selfish aggrandizement. I'm doing this stuff for God. I would give that person, man, woman, child or whatever, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's me.
Okay.
But I don't recommend everybody else to do it.
Right, right. And then, okay, very good. Sister Teresa, let's go to you. That same scenario, is that Christianity? You go there and you render
no.
that type of aid?
That doesn't define whether you're a Christian or not, because you have to use wisdom in all things. If you're serving God as a female, like the pastor said, it's very dangerous. I'm a Bible worker. I've gone door to door. I've knocked on people's houses. It's dangerous out there to the point where I have to do all my Bible studies on the Zoom and on the conference calls now, because we are in the last days. It is perilous times. And so people are crazy now. So you have to use wisdom and you have to pray. And for the guy with the food, I do like what the pastor said. I've several occasions went and bought the food and gave it to them instead of giving them money. That would be wisdom. In the past, I ended up giving out over tons of money just on each corner. Somebody was asking. And then I said, wait a minute, what are they doing with the money? They're probably not doing what's right by it. So let me just go, if they're hungry, let me go buy them food. And so I bought them food. Some of them will turn down the food because their hearts are not right, and they're being deceitful. They're not really hungry. It's just a scam. So you have to use wisdom in all things.
So, Sister Teresa, I want to stay with you and ask you. So specifically, are you saying if that man is on the ground and the audience is saying to you, because you came to render aid, and they're saying, miss, you got to give him mouth to mouth. Are you saying to possibly save a life, that your wisdom is that you're not going to do that?
I'm going to call 911 and use wisdom.
Okay. All right. Which means, okay. All right. Then let me go to this part. We're almost out of time. And I want to get to this next question. We had a lot more to cover about what Christianity is about. So let me begin. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you back in, and I want to begin by asking you this question, and then I'll certainly respond as well. So if Christianity is about all of these things that we mentioned, you know, speaking words, the right words to people, giving money, feeding the homeless, or visiting the sick and shut in, visiting those who are in prison, you know, showing that it's an action word, that we're showing that, you know, you will know them by their fruit. If we believe and we practice, as Lady C said, if we're demonstrating God's love for the world, as Sir Ben said, you know, if we talk about our lifestyle as I present it, then, Pastor Rowe, let me begin by asking you this question, and I'm going to ask all of us, why isn't the world a better place if those who call themselves Christians, we, or those who are in pursuit of Christianity, why isn't the world a better place to live? Why isn't it a safe place? And I know we're going to talk about the enemy. We're going to talk about the enemy. But is everything really the enemy's fault? If we're going to believe in God, who has more power than the enemy, why isn't the world, Pastor Rowe, a much better place to live, in your opinion?
Well, you know, we got to be authentic. We got to be genuine in our love. You know, Scripture said, if we know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, and when the disciples, you know, they went out, you know, of course, they went out and they sowed the seed. They shared the word, you know. One soweth, another watereth, but God gives the increase, you know. But we just got to keep on watering and keep on sowing. And God is the one that is going to give the increase by our actions. All we got to do is plant the seed of love, and God will, the plants will germinate from the actions that we have done, you know. So that's the way I respond to that, Dr. Walker.
Go ahead, please.
As the lady mentioned, I'm going to say it real fast. As the lady mentioned, you know, in the scripture talk about going out by twos. Don't go out by yourself. And that's a good protective measure. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so what we're looking at, and Pastor Rowe, we're going to, if you don't mind, we're going to ask you to close us out tonight. 30-second close out, and that's going to... If you're not feeling up to it, Lady C, we'll jump over to you to close us out. Pastor Rowe, you want to close us out?
Yes, I do that.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, I'll do that.
With about a 30 or 40-second close out. And that's going to be in about 4 minutes. So let me – you said some interesting things here. And it's like we're looking for the why. The question is, why isn't the world a better place? So my response to that question is – It's usually specific questions, you all, looking for specific answers or responses, not what we call red herrings, where we go around the question, but it's addressing the specific question. And here, we're looking for the why. In my opinion, this is just my humble opinion, the world is not a better place because I believe, this is just me, we who are called, you know, whether we call ourselves Christians or whatever it is, followers of Christ, whatever we call ourselves, in my opinion, we are not doing enough to justify or certify our calling. We're not doing enough. Think about it for a moment. If we were all doing, you know, like they say, each one reach one. If we were all doing something with that action word of Christianity, you know, where God was, Jesus was mobile. He continuously did things for people, for humanity. He constantly did that. So if we really modeled what Jesus Christ did, the world, in my opinion, would be a much better place. All right, so we're going to go over to, I believe we have Sir Ben back with us. Sir Ben, just quickly here, in your opinion, if we call ourselves Christians or whatever we call ourselves, followers of God, why, in your opinion specifically, isn't the world a better place?
Well, I think it all comes down to accountability. And with accountability, you create the avenues of responsibility. Responsibility requires action, even caring to rebuild because of accountability. So if we took a greater accountability within our own lives, and then that accountability went on to become responsibility for our fellow man and fellow woman, we would have a different outcome about how we treat each other, how we interact with each other, and how we grew together.
All right. Is it really, Sir Ben, accountability, or is it your commitment to God? Is it a commitment? Because accountability, I'll just speak in myself personally. I mean, if I had to hold myself accountable for accomplishing a certain goal, I'm not going to do it. Like, I know I have to study for the bar exam, and it's like, if somebody's not holding me accountable, it's not, there's a good likelihood it's not going to get done. Even though I'm self-motivated, I'm disciplined with certain things, but for me, areas of the law that I study, there's so much to retain. There's so much information that, and it can be boring. It really can be boring. And so holding myself accountable, that's not likely to happen. But if I had a commitment and somebody to hold me accountable, okay, yes, yes. So, Sir Ben, how do you respond to that? Just briefly, we're running out of time.
Okay, so if I'm your friend and I feel a responsibility or connection, you know, there's three different types of relationships that we have in the body of Christ in the way God sees us. But anyway, if I'm your brother and I know that you have a responsibility to study for your test, my accountability to you, because I'm your brother and you're my brother, is to make sure I'm encouraging you, to make sure I'm staying on top. Hey, you know, Dr. Justin, you know, hey, you know, you got to make sure you get that test done. Hey, is there anything I can help you with? There's an accountability in me because of my responsibility to you to make sure that you're going to get their studying in and make sure you're going to do well in that test. And that's what I mean by accountability and responsibility. It requires action. I have to have some action on my part to help my fellow brother.
You know, Sir Ben, thank you for that. And I'm going to be honest with you all. I sent out asking people who I thought were closest to me, seven closest friends that I thought, and maybe one relative was in there, about holding me accountable just to study. I pleaded with them, and not one person really literally responded to wanting to invest time to hold me accountable. So that's very interesting. And some of them consider themselves to be my dearest and closest friend. Let me move on. Sir Ben, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Lady C. Lady C, in your opinion, let me just go to you real quickly here because we're running out of time. Isn't the world a better place to live in if we call ourselves followers of Christ, in your opinion, in a nutshell?
Well,
It's not my opinion. Only the word of God. We're at,
down
oh, you're talking
Lady
on Lady C?
Yes, Lady C. Then we'll come to you, Ms. Teresa. Just
Lady C? I'm sorry.
I don't think the world, just because we call ourselves Christians doesn't mean that the world is a better place. It's how we act as Christians is what will cause the world a better place.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Sister Teresa, why isn't the world a better place for people who even call themselves Christians?
Because we're in the last days. These are the last days. We're in the end of time. The world is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I hate to say that, but that's what it is. Our great commission is to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them. That's our commission as Christians. That is what Jesus told us to do. And whether that means feeding them, resuscitation, that is our great commission. And we're not adhering to that. The Bible says the rocks will cry out. So that's why the world is not going to be in a better place, because it's not going to. We're at the end of time. Read Ezekiel 7. It's the end of time.
All right. Thank you for that. Pastor Roe, just give your opinion on why we as so-called Christians call ourselves, whatever we call ourselves, believers in God and our practice. Why isn't, with all of that, all that we've covered tonight, why isn't the world a better place? And then close us out. Pastor Rowe.
Okay, you know, Scripture talks about, you know, in the latter days, perilous times will come, and you know that Scripture, and it's, you know, things is being fulfilled, but the Bible also say we have to confess our shortcomings and do everything we can to fulfill the great mandate of Christ, and just trust in Him. God of our fathers, God of our mothers, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has by thy might kept us in the right, lead us, Lord, lead us in the path, we pray, and teach us, O Lord, how to trust you and how to believe in you. You said in your word, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, mind, and spirit, and soul. And you would direct our path. So as we close out tonight, Lord, we ask that you, the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. And we just pray that you would guide our every step, Lord, and trust in you in all that we do. We pray that you would bless everyone that's on this call, Lord. And as they go forth and as they go out, Lord, our prayers is with them that they might be a blessing and share the things that our leader, Dr. Walker, is trying to show us and teach us and help us to be good stewards of your word. This prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
I want to leave you all also thank you for that, Pastor Rowe. Just before we go, and I know we're out of time, but if you all will indulge me for just about 90 seconds, I want to read something that I received from my chiropractor's office today. This was written by supposedly written by a 15-year-old school kid who got an A plus for this entry, and it's based on the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer is not allowed. I'm going to ask you all if you'll just stay tuned and listen to this. The Lord's Prayer, it says, is not allowed in most U.S. public schools anymore. A kid in Minnesota wrote the following. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule, for this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights, and any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayers spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone, we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They've not outlawed guns, but first the Bible. To quote the good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen and the unwed daddy our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth controls, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul, please take. Amen. You know, this is so amazing, and I just had to have that, and I just want to share that with you all. We're completely out of time tonight. Please join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, we'll be back here next Friday. And, of course, you choose to bypass that, we'll be back the following Saturday morning with our International Divine Intervention Day. Until tomorrow, next Thursday or next Friday or until next Saturday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, Pastor Rose. Good night, everyone. Great show as usual.
This is the three.
Good night, Sister Marjorie.
Good night, Lady T. Thank you. Good night, keep safe and keep well, everyone. God bless you. Enjoy the show. Thank you.
Good night.
Sister Marjorie, I love your goodbyes. I love your goodbyes. I look forward to hearing them all the time.
Oh, thank you. I enjoy you too, Lady T. I enjoy you all. God bless you all.
God bless you all so much. Bye, Lady C. Bye, Sister Marjorie. Bye, Benny on the blog.
Everybody, you all did a great job. I enjoyed it. God bless.
Thank you, Sister.